Are you richer than you think?
Well, I believe so, and I think I'm in a position to know because I have analyzed, worked with, and evaluated over 20,000 successful business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, and self-made men and women over the last 20 years. What I've discovered is something so simple and yet so overlooked that I very much want to share it with you today. This is the first time I have ever openly or publicly shared the secrets and the lessons I have been able to learn and master from other men and women more successful than I. Hopefully, by combining them together in this composite tape program, you'll be able to get the answers that have evaded you your entire career. You'll be able to take any job you're holding, any career you wish to pursue, any business you're running or you wish to start or buy, and make it as profitable, as prosperous, and as satisfying as you wish for it to be. That stated, I'd like to share the 19 elements I have determined offer any human being in business or working for a living more growth, more control, more certainty, more prosperity, more fulfillment in any financial endeavor they may ever pursue. So let's start. First thing I'd like to cover is a very simple but a very powerful element: making money made easy. It's the psychology of money making, deal making, and wealth creating made simple. I'm going to give you an explanation and an understanding that I doubt seriously anyone else has ever shared before. It's the reason some people are many, many times more successful or prosperous than you are, and how you can easily mirror their levels of success by changing the mindset that you follow. Simply speaking, the psychology of money making is very simple. It's a philosophy of not limiting your sense of achievement, goals, and deservedness. It's an understanding that you have the inalienable right, just as every other human being in this country does, to achieve everything and anything you want within reason. And reason is a much higher and broader and deeper and wealthier level of achievement than you have ever allowed for yourself. It's an understanding that you can make the same effort, the same time, the same motion, the same 40 or 60 or 80 hours you put in every week produce such a higher yield by taking fuller advantage of all the leverage out there. And it's an understanding of what leverage truly is. Leverage, by the way, is nothing more than gaining the fullest advantage of the efforts, the expenditures, the momentum, and the velocity that other people or businesses have already put into motion and that you can get a free and a very lucrative ride off of. I know it sounds very abstract, but I'll try to bring it to a very simple example right now. As I'm talking, there are in the world thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, probably millions of situations where other people and other organizations have in motion all kind of existing momentum and velocity. They have customers being sold. They have advertisings being run. At any point in time, there are thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, literally, of individuals and businesses that have velocity in motion. They have customers being sold, advertisings being run and broadcast and mailed out. They have activities in process, in play, all of which you can get a free ride upon when you understand how to take fullest advantage of leverage. Leverage is getting other people more motivated to help you achieve your goal than even you. In its pure sense, it's sort of like Tom Sawyer when he got all his friends to help him whitewash the fence. They got more excited than he did. They wanted to do it because they saw it as being fun. Well, in your case, you want to find ways to get other people or organizations to see the benefit to themselves, the self-serving benefit of helping you greater achieve your goals. And we'll get into it later in this program, but the first thing you've got to realize if you're going to really manage and fully capitalize on the psychology of money making is that it's key to find areas where other people have more to gain by seeing you successful or more successful than even you do. It's positioning, maneuvering yourself into situations where other people have more incentive than you do to carry you to your goal. Now, when it comes to deal making is much simpler than people will have you believe. All it is the same thing. It's figuring out what other people really want or need, and then finding a way to give them what they desire by having them give you what you want. In other words, you can't have self-serving desire and be a great deal maker. Why? Because other people won't be motivated to do deals with you. But on the other hand, if you take on the attitude that everything you do is first and foremost designed to give the other side more of what they want, and as long as they're getting exactly what they want or more, they're going to be very, very motivated to give you what you want. That's the attitude you've got to adopt, so that creating wealth becomes very simple. All in its purest sense, the wealth creation process is figuring out how to bring greater advantage, greater benefit, greater results, greater value to other people's lives, businesses, jobs, or situations. If you can bring more value, more benefit, more advantage, greater results, more measurable improvements or securities or enjoyment to people than anyone else can, you can always accomplish whatever it is you want, tangibly, financially, achievementally. Okay, so now we've got a mindset established, and the mindset is simply this. Your goal has got to be from point one forward. You'll do nothing that doesn't first focus on bringing a greater benefit or advantage to the other side. The other side may be the person you work for, the boss that you work under, the employees or team members who work under you, the customers you're trying to sell, the vendors you're trying to deal with, the bank you're trying to raise money from, the investors you're trying to get to fund your activity, or whomever. You cannot accomplish your objective unless you first help the other side fully achieve their objective first. So with that in mind, let's look at the key opportunities you have in your life to tremendously leverage your outcome, your result, your success, your wealth, your prosperity. A lot of people come and ask me, how can I get the job I want, or really keep the job I've got in this kind of a competitive environment when all businesses, including my employers, are downsizing, outsourcing, cutting out fat, reevaluating the justification of every department, every job, every person? Well, it's a very simple answer, and it's tied to a universal lesson I want to teach you right now. When you become more valuable than anyone else you work with or work under or work above, then your employer can't help but keep you on. They cannot afford to lose you. So the first job you've got is not to worry, but to identify instead the value, the benefit, the full level of worth and contribution you have made and are making on a daily basis to that employee. Almost no one who works for any other company has ever thought about this, but it's the very first thing I teach men and women to do. identify exactly what your value is to your employer. What's that mean? It means look at the significance of what you do and how it connects to any kind of a measurable result the employer can denominate. By that I mean, can the employer identify how much productivity, how many customers, how much revenue is generated because of you? If not, can they determine how many people stay employed, how much productivity is accomplished in a given day or a given week or a given month? If they can't do that, can they determine how many bills get paid per hour, how much money gets collected, how much inventory gets moved, how much shipping gets shipped? Can you quantify? Can you measure? Can you evaluate and determine some kind of a measurable correlation, some kind of a direct measurement of what you do and what the outcome or the result or the benefit of your effort is? If you can, I encourage you to do it right away. And when you do it, if you are the only person who's ever measured it, if you get that information into your employer's hand in a subtle way, it'll make your contributional value, your invaluable worth to the organization, so much more evident. It'll also underscore and highlight for the employer exactly what a great value you are. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're in the shipping department and you have never measured or correlated the connection between what you do and the outcome your employer gets. Let's say you start looking at the fact that every day, because of your efforts, 100 packages get shipped. And the average package has a retail value on it of $1,000. That means because of your efforts, $100,000 worth of products go out every day. In 5 days, it's $500,000. In 4.5 weeks, which is what an average month is, that's basically what? That's almost $3 million. In the course of a year, it's a heck of a lot of money. Let's say you're being paid $35,000 a year right now for your job. Break it down to what that is on a daily basis. Show your employer that for every blank, and let's see what $35,000 is. You divide $35,000 by 52 weeks, and what is it? It's not quite $700 a week. Every time you get just under $700, your employer gets $500,000 a week shipped out. I think that's a very powerful correlation. Given the fact that no one else has probably ever measured that, you stand out now as an incredible value. Also, once you realize what the correlation is, you're in an excellent position to improve or increase or elevate your level of productivity and point out to your employer that advantage to them. If right now when you analyze it, you find that every time you make $700, your employer gets $500,000 worth of shipments out the door, what if you all of a sudden became a mere 10% more productive? Well, that means for the same $700, the employer gets now an extra $50,000 worth of shipments. Pretty exciting, isn't it? You can draw a measurable illustration to almost any kind of job anyone holds. Let's say that you are an accounting department manager. Let's say you are responsible for processing $1 million worth of accounts payable every month. Let's say in the process of processing that, you uncover 3% of those accounts that you can get your employer to save money on because they are erroneous billing. Well, 3% of $1 million a month is $30,000. If you're being paid
$3,000-$5,000 a month for saving your employer $30,000, they're getting a 6-to-1 return. That's only one area you can measure your performance in. This becomes critically important in two different areas of job achievement. Number one, holding your job against other people. Number two, getting the job you want. If you are the only person in an area of a company who understands measurement, comparability, and correlation, and no one else does that, your employer will see you as being a distinctive and a very unique asset, someone who justifies their existence by a huge margin because you have evaluated, examined, and calculated the exact correlation of cost to work. You can say to your employer, pretty exciting to know that every time you pay $700 a week to me, I get $500,000 worth of billing out the door. Or every time you pay $5,000 a month to me, I save you $35,000. It's also exciting when you want a raise to be able to say, I want an extra $1,000 a blank month, quarter, year. In exchange for that, I'm willing to promise I will produce a minimum of 100 times greater blank productivity, savings, shipments, whatever applies most directly to your job function. Do you see the advantage you have over your competitors? Now let's use this in a different application. Let's say that you want a job. It can be a job within your company. It can be a job with anybody's company. Let's say you're out of work, or let's say you're working and you want a job in the same field of endeavor or in any different one. In order to get the job ahead of and instead of anyone else who applies for it, all you have to do is focus your eye on the one ball that no one else looks at. This measurement correlation, this value to cost basis that ultimately every employer should be and wants to look at but has never really thought about. When you go and apply for a job, or when a job becomes open, or when you want a job created for you, and you have every right to do that, all you have to do is go to the employer and say, what kind of a return on investment do you have to get to make me the best value you've ever invested in? Most of them will never have thought about it. Your job is to help them focus on specific performance levels. Say to them, okay, let's say that you hire me for this accounting job. What would you expect me to accomplish tangibly? Not just performing the roles and the functions of the job. That's accepted and understood. What specific achievements? How much mistakes and errors would you expect me to catch? How much erroneous billing would you expect me to uncover? How much cash flow savings would you expect me to accomplish, minimum, in the first 3 months, the first 6 months, the first year? No one's ever said that to your employer. Everyone's always said, well, tell me about the job. Tell me about the benefits. Your goal is to re-denominate the way the employer looks at the job function and looks at you. In addition to that kind of a focus, your second focus has got to be to ask the employer what the biggest areas of tangible contribution you could make to that job would be. No one has ever asked that either. By that I'm talking about what can you do that is measurable, that is evident, that is tangible, and that has value to that employer that no one has ever thought about doing before. When you ask the question, the employer probably won't have a good answer, but it will distinguish you at the highest level. Your attitude, your mindset, your focus must be the following. Take and go after no job unless you can add supreme and superior dimension and value to your performance in it. It's not hard to do because virtually no one takes a job with an eye or an ear towards how can I add more value to this job. And when you come up with the ways you can do it, and you will when you ask the right questions of your employer, or your prospective employer, what are the right questions? They are the following. Number one, tell me about the biggest area of opportunity in that job. Not opportunity for me to grow, but opportunity for me to contribute. Tell me about the biggest weaknesses, the biggest problems, the biggest areas people have either not excelled, fallen down, or missed out on taking advantage of opportunities for you. Tell me about what happens before this job and after. In other words, how does the function of this job connect with other functions in the process of the system of getting the business transacted? Towards that objective, how can you make the function better? Ask the employer if they've ever identified what the correlation should be, if they know what the productivity level should be, if they have measurable benchmarks that they are expecting the successful applicant to achieve. And if they don't, ask if you can help them before you ever take the job identify and correlate specific achievement benchmarks that the successful applicant who gets the job should be expected to accomplish, not only in month 3, month 6, month 12, but on specific levels. In other words, if it were this hypothetical accounting job, and in the accounting department, one of the functions is identifying erroneous billings, identifying erroneous payments, identifying areas that can be reduced, identifying areas of the accounting process that can be simplified. Rather than saying, obviously, you want the head of the department to find errors, what if you say there should be a budgeted area, a targeted minimum number of errors that account that department should be identifying and reducing until you get a standard level of acceptability that should be much lower or higher, however you look at it, than we currently are achieving. The employer has never probably thought about that. By putting in their mind a higher level of correlation, a higher level of productivity justification, and being the one to lead them to it, you give yourself a great distinction in their eyes. So, when you want a job, all you got to do is do what nobody else does. Sounds silly, but it's true. Everyone else says, tell me about the job. Tell me about what's in it for me. Tell me about the benefits. Tell me about my advancement. Tell me about the insurance. Tell me about vacations. Tell me about stock options. Tell me about retirement plans. If you say none of that, but instead say, tell me about how I can make the biggest contribution. Tell me about what the previous holder of that job did best. Tell me about what you didn't like about their performance. Tell me about the areas of the job where you can get the greatest benefit leverage to the company. Tell me about where I can make the greatest contribution in that job. Let me talk to the person who had it last, and let me ask what they would do differently if they were going to go and take the job again. Let me talk to the person who is under them. Let me talk to all the people who interact with that job. Let me know everything about it so we can sit down together. And if I am lucky enough to be appointed the successful applicant, let me know in advance what I can do to add the highest level of benefit value, profitability, productivity, and success to the company. If that's the attitude you take, you will run rings around everyone else looking for a job. You will run rings around everyone else qualified for promotion, and you will run rings around everyone else whose job is in jeopardy, because you will be the one person in the business who understands and lives for the tangible contribution you can make to the company. And it will be a contribution that is not abstract. It's not overlooked. It will be very clear. It will be very evident. It will be very constant. It will make the money they pay you always seem too low. And that's the position you always want to be in. When people think you're overpaid and underperforming, you are the first to go or be reassigned. When people think you are overperforming and grossly underpaid, you are the last to go and the most invaluable person in the situation. Which of the two situations do you want to see yourself move to? The answer is self-evident. Next question I get asked, the next question I get asked, I don't have any money, but I really don't want to be dependent on an employer all my life. I want to start a part-time business from scratch, but I don't have any capital. What's the best ways, or is there any way to really do it and have a good shot of succeeding? The answer is yes. It's much easier than you think. Let me go through a quick litany of the best approaches I have used for myself and for other people I have advised. Number one, the most overlooked opportunity almost everyone has is their employer. Within the confines of your own company, there are probably dozens, if not hundreds, of overlooked opportunities you could take advantage of for your employer. Opportunities to improve their profitability, opportunities to improve their efficiency, opportunities to take care of certain functions they currently may be subbing outside or may not be doing at all, opportunities to add certain kinds of values. All you have to do is identify what those opportunities are and go to your employer and ask them forthrightly, if I could add profit or save money or improve productivity or expand market or gain greater cost containment or improve delivery, shipping, service, or any of the above areas for the company on my own time, keyword is on my own time, and do it in a way that the company absolutely wasn't doing and had no intention of doing themselves, would you be willing to retain a little business I would start on the side to do it for you? Particularly if I could demonstrate before I ever ask you to say yes, that it would pay so much more, particularly if I could demonstrate to you before you ever were asked to say yes to me, that it would pay such a higher return and dividend than the job function I'm currently engaged in, and I would agree to maintain my job and have other people do this for me. Well, that sounds silly, but if you go to a company and say, if I can give you $10,000 you never would have had, or $110,000, or if I can save you 20% of the scrap that you're wasting in your production, or if I can get your product manufactured one half the time, or if I can get your service calls reduced by 40%, or if I can reduce your inventory cost by 20%, or if I can reduce your electrical bill or your utility bill or your phone bill by 20%, there are very few small and private employers who will not say that they would be willing to allow you to set up a separate business on your own time to do that for them. If they have any reticence, any reservations, you can say, and if it works, we could take that business to other outside companies and sell similar services, and I would be willing to give you an interest in the business. That's one thing you can do. The second thing you can do is you can go through the yellow pages and look at any kind of product or service that you find interesting. First of all, start with the areas that you have the most interest or skills or industry familiarity with. And you can contact the people who own those enterprises, and you can ask them if they would be willing to, in essence, act as your back room. In other words, let you set up your own business, but without any of the inventory or the personnel or the equipment or high-paid technical people that they already employ. And would they, in essence, provide the product or service to you on a drop shipment or a directly delivered or vended basis to any customers you sell? What's it mean? It means that instead of having to start a business and get a big office and buy, rent, or lease expensive equipment and hire very skilled technical people and invest years and years and years of your time and effort making contact with manufacturers and suppliers. You can just go to somebody who's already got all that established but may not be operating their business at full capacity, and that's about 90% of the companies in any kind of endeavor, and ask them if they would be willing to sell you their product or service at a discount, basically on a wholesale basis. If they will, and I guarantee you if you approach it correctly, a number of people, if not all, will say yes, and the spreads you can get will range between 20% and 50 to 70% of the retail price. You can then turn and just sell the product or service to other companies. If you sell the product or service and your only expense is selling or marketing, you don't have the inventory, you don't have an office, you don't have equipment, you don't have high paid personnel, all you do whenever you get a sale is call up a company that's already in that business and have them directly ship it out or directly install it or provide the service, and you're basically making a spread, a huge margin on the cost they charge you versus the price you get from the marketplace. You can make a lot of money and get started without any major investment, any major effort. Let's say you don't know how to sell. No problem. All you do is run ads in the paper for a very skilled commission salesman or woman. Find out what the industry standard is. In other words, if the typical salesperson makes 3% and you work out a deal where you've got 20 or 30% margin, you could give a salesman or woman or a number of salesmen or women double the commission to start with, and you'd still be making money without any effort just by putting together the concept. Your real investment would be in contacting the companies who would supply the products or services, in essence, as wholesalers to you, creating a little bit of a letterhead and a concept for the business, setting it up either as a corporation or a sole proprietorship or something in between. You have to talk to an attorney. Then going out in the marketplace and having the salespeople sell their heads off. The trick here is to realize that most salespeople aren't secure enough to go into business for themselves. You probably wonder, well, why wouldn't a salesman or woman who's any good just do the same thing? Well, the biggest reason is they don't have the confidence in themselves and the conceptual certainty to do it. What I've just shared with you, going to people who already do it, contacting the ones who have oversupply, overcapacity, a desire to move their inventory or use their people or their services more effectively, that will work in 80 to 90% of the situations. Knowing that you can go through the yellow pages, call people and say, if I ask you to sell your product to me as if it were my own so I could resell it to someone else, would you be willing to do it? And so at a discount. Most people would never think that 90% would say yes, but they will. Depends on what deal you get, but if you get a 30 or 40% spread and you sell on a cash basis, the difference between whatever you have to pay your salesperson or persons and what you pay the reseller that you buy it from or the wholesaler that you buy it from is your margin. It's a great way to get a business started. After it grows, you have two choices. Number one, always operate that way and just basically never have any investment in people, in equipment, in technical staff, in inventory, in manufacturing or delivery vehicles, or you can grow large enough that you can get to the point where there may be certain products or services that it pays for you to do in-house because the margins are even higher. But you can get started without any investment. Let me give you a couple other neat things you can do. You can go to all kinds of other businesses. You can make an arrangement to get the license or the right to sell their customers companion or corresponding or compatible products or services that go along, that logically complement or follow the product or service that they sell. And in doing so, get them to endorse or, in essence, represent you to their customers as being a division of their own business. You don't have to be in business full-time. Once you get the right, I stress to you, the key asset here is the right to do it. And it's not hard to do because almost no companies think about it. They think of themselves as just selling one product or one service. If you get the right to sell complementary products or services, then all you have to do is go out and find real companies who provide those products or services and make a deal with them, just like you did in the earlier example, to be resellers to you. You buy the product or service from them wholesale. You vend it or offer it through the companies you have these joint venture associations with, and you make the spread. There are lots and lots of other ways to start a business without any capital or full-time effort. Let me give you a masterful little secret that I have used. Go through the Yellow Pages. The Yellow Pages has got to be one of your greatest friends. Look through the Yellow Pages and ask, as you look at the categories of businesses, generic categories. In other words, bowling alleys, clothing stores, physicians, pharmacies. Ask yourself what products or services those people need most and use least. Make a list. When you find a number of different businesses that need something frequently and recurringly, in other words, let's say you find that every retail company needs their windows dressed and their windows cleaned, but you know that half of them don't do it, or they don't do it regularly, or they need signs, but they don't do it very often. Then you know a business you can go into. And then all you have to do is look up companies who supply that business, in other words, window cleaners or sign companies, and you go to them and you say, I want to set up a business with you as my partner. I'll get the customers. You provide the people, the capital, the material, the skills. I'll get the deal together, and we'll split whatever basis you can negotiate, 50-50, 25-75, 60-40. If you do it right, you'll get people to eagerly say yes to you because you're bringing them areas of business they've never pursued themselves, and you're turnkeying it for them. You're putting it together into a systematic concept they can get excited about. I mean, if you find a window cleaner who's not doing all the business he wants, and you say, I'm going to put together a business where we go out and we get every retailer, not only will we clean their windows, but we'll dress their windows and decorate their windows 12 times a year, and we're going to charge them a fixed fee, you can get a window cleaner excited to provide you with the labor and the skill. Then all you have to do is set the deal up. Well, you say, well, I don't know how to sell it. Again, no problem. Since you got half the profit, all you have to do is figure what a fair price to charge is and do what I suggested earlier. Run ads in the paper for very, very motivated salesmen and women, find out what fair commission is, and then double it or triple it. If you know that the service can sell for $100 a month, and the cost to do it is about $10, and the gross profit is $90, and you can get retailers to sign up to do it monthly forever, and monthly means basically $100 a month, $1,200 a year revenue forever, and the cost on that revenue to fulfill it is all of about $120, then you know you've got a lot of money you can pay in commissions, because even splitting it with the window cleaner, you're going to make a lot of money just for masterminding, just for being Tom Sawyer. Think about Tom Sawyer in the ethical terms. Think that your goal is to get other people excited about whitewashing the fence. If you do that, you can start all the businesses you want part-time with no capital just by masterminding and putting it together. Then you've got the best of all worlds. If it grows, you can just get checks forever for doing nothing, or you can quit your full-time job, or you can keep starting new versions of it over and over again every 3 or 4 months as a previous part-time business gets solid and stabilized. Or you can take a part-time business you start and build in your city and replicate it in as many other cities as you want, or anything in between. You're only limited by your sense of how much you deserve to accomplish, how successful and prosperous you deserve to be. And for my money, you deserve to be many, many times more successful and many, many times more prosperous and many, many times richer than you are right now. Let me move on. A lot of people say, I've got a small business and I'm struggling. How can I turn it into a large one without any risk? Very simple. There are three ways to grow any business and every business. And almost every business owner focuses on the hardest and the most difficult way first. They all try to grow more customers. Instead of growing more customers, do more with the customers you've already got. When people buy, there are three ways to grow them. When people buy from you, you have three different opportunities for making more money. The first one is selling them something, turning them from a prospect to a customer. The second way is to increase the size of the purchase and the profit on that purchase they make with you. The third way is to increase the number of times that they buy from you and the number of other things they come back literally or figuratively and buy from you. Most companies prefer to be reactive because no one's ever pointed out to them that they have the opportunity and the responsibility to lead a customer to a more strategic buying philosophy. If at the point of initial purchase, when a sale is made, you direct the customer to the fact that he or she has more to gain by buying larger and higher quality units of purchase, and that they have more to gain by coming back at strategic frequencies because they're going to get a greater outcome from using the products or services, and you offer and identify for them additional products and services they can acquire through you, the odds are they will do so. At least a large portion of them will do that. If they do so, if they come back and buy larger amounts and they come back more often, you can't help but make more money. As you make more money, you can take some of that additional profits and invest it into new customer-generating programming. And there's about 50 different ways you can grow customers or clients for your businesses that I guarantee you no one else in your industry understands. I don't have time today to get into it, but what I will tell you is this. Spend some time going through, that's right, the Yellow Pages again, and calling up companies who are in businesses other than the one you're in. In other words, if you are in the retail business, call people in the wholesale business. Call people in the service business. Call people in the manufacturing business. And ask them, call and ask for the owners, and ask the owners of those enterprises if they would mind sharing with you the singularly most productive single way they use to generate sales. If they say selling, ask them if they would mind defining and explaining the exact selling procedure and process they use. Why do I want you to do this? Because if you call 100 non-competitive companies in 100 non-competitive industries other than yours, you will identify probably 70 or 80 unique and fresh new ways you can grow more customers for your business. When you've identified those ways, you can start using them and funding them with the added profit and revenue you make by selling your customers larger and more continuous purchases. And you can bring more people through the system. It becomes basically a perpetual process. More people come in, you sell them larger units of sales, you sell them more often, you sell them more things. You use the money you make from selling them more often and more things to fund new customer acquisition programs that are fresh and unique and innovative from anything else anyone in your industry is doing. You do it over and over again. Behind all this has to be a driving philosophy, and this is a secret, the crux of what turns more small businesses into larger ones than anything else I've studied, and that is the right frame of reference. Your goal cannot be to fall in love with your company, your product, or your service. It has to be to fall in love with your customer, your prospect, or your client. By that I mean, you've got to see your function and your purpose as bringing the greatest level of benefit, advantage, security, prosperity, improvement, protection, helpfulness, well-being, certainty, whatever it is your product or service provides. You've got to see your goal, your challenge, your purpose, your opportunity as being bringing the highest level of that benefit or advantage or result to your customers in exchange for doing business with you, because I guarantee you that's not the philosophy any of your competitors follows. If you champion and advocate the needs, the interests, the desires, the well-being of your customer or client first and foremost, and you put behind it the philosophy I shared with you 3 minutes ago, your business can't help but grow massively.
This is the end of Side 1. Please turn your cassette over now to continue with Side 2.